One morning in June some 20 years ago, I was born a rich man's son. I had everything that money could buy, but freedom I had none. I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking so long.
Muy buenas tardes, queridos oyentes. Y bienvenidos otra semana más a Break Potatoes, vuestro programa en Spanglish. Collins, hemos estado varias semanas ausentes.
We have.
Por el periodo navideño, como te fuiste a tu país, nos dejaste olvidados.
I didn't. I went to my home country and we had a program over the air. I phoned you. Do you remember?
Ah, sí, es verdad.
That girl was here.
Con el problema del cambio de año no me acuerdo de nada.
Problema. Anyway.
¿Tenemos problemas de sonido? Collins, ¿puedes oír bien?
Sounds strange.
No. Sí, soy yo. Parece que los problemas del directo. Parece que no se oye bien del todo. Mike, bienvenido a Break Potatoes una vez más.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
¿Qué tal las navidades?
Very bien. Sorry, very good. I hate it when that happens. It's a good job I've never made that mistake in the professional environment. No, I had a very good time, but it was the coldest Christmas. I think the coldest winter in general for 30 years. So
really,
that long? Yeah, it was very very cold, and usually I go home for a couple more degrees, but it was actually nice to come back for a few days until it started snowing.
Bueno, si has venido aquí porque hacía mucho frío en tu país y has llegado cuando estaba nevando, como no había nevado en 20 años. Muy bien.
No, but it was very beautiful. I don't drive a car, so to be honest, I was happy it snowed, and I would like it to happen again.
Collins, tuviste problemas en la nevada, ¿no?
I certainly did. I had to leave my poor motorbike in Las Tablas for the weekend. Oh.
It's funny that we should be talking about this now, because Andy Carmichael, who would like to be referred to as Andy C, well, I would as well.
Andy, mean Andrés Coche Miguel?
Well, exactly. I'd like to be referred to as Andy C with a surname like that. I think I had a key ring once that was Carmichael. It must be some kind of company. Anyway, Andy would like to offer some winter advice. Don't eat yellow snow.
que no comas nieve amarilla. A lo mejor puede no ser muy pura, ¿no?
Yeah, some good piece of advice.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, that's what he said. Good piece.
Any other listeners, please feel free to send in your hints and tips.
But hurry up, it's getting warmer.
But they don't have to be tips about the snow, do they, Mike?
Oh, in that case, then take your time.
Mike, we were talking to an invitee guest on our last program, who has a friend called Laura, and this girl called Laura was Laura La Sucia. She wouldn't be anything to do with you, would she? Because we know your girlfriend's called Laura, but is she Laura La Sucia, or is this a different Laura we're talking about?
Really, anyone, when compared to me, would be referred to as the pure. So I think my girlfriend would be
Laura la pura, si tiene sentido.
Why is she pure, Mike? Why is?
Porque yo soy tan sucio que en comparación, pues cualquier persona va a ser pura.
Ah, yeah. Can you give us an example of why you're so dirty? Why are you called Dirty Mike?
It's not based on hygiene reasons, but I'd like to keep some of those things a little bit closer to my chest than on a radio station with so many listeners, thank you.
To your chest?
Yes.
Okay.
Una vez más, seguimos sin saber exactamente de dónde viene la calificación de Michael Sucio, pero bueno.
Answers on a postcard to the usual address.
Ah, once, when I was in France with you, Gareth,
yeah,
and your mate Bobby Scott and his friend who looked like a shark,
yeah,
I think we didn't shower for about 3 days. And when I got back home, I could spike my hair up like Billy Idol without using wax because it was so greasy.
There we are. An interesting fact about Dirty Mike, El Más Sucio.
Esquizofrenia, trastorno bipolar, ansiedad, disfunción cerebral. En el psiquiátrico hice la especialidad. Mira, sin sociedad no hay enfermedad. Además a los demás les dio por señalar qué es lo que estaba bien, qué es lo que estaba mal. El loco no es más loco porque se siente loco. El loco es loco porque no le importa nada. Pero yo vivo feliz,
inflado como levadura. Soy un paciente que se burla de su cura. Canta hace pesadilla para todo el que mira. Esta canción es de verdad.
Don't point out. A pesar de las navidades, las noticias no han parado.
¿No?
Nosotros tenemos un deber para con nuestros oyentes de traerles las noticias más frescas.
Uf, excellent. One quick question. Who was singing that song? Who's that song by?
Es La Mala Rodríguez con alguien más, pero no sé quién es el otro. O sea, la canción es de La Mala Rodríguez.
That's your mother, isn't it?
No, it's not. La Mala.
Yeah, yeah.
Rodríguez, no, es una cantante malagueña.
Ah, okay, okay. Because, anyway, are you going to give them their royalties check, or do you want me to leave it with them?
No, you can be in charge of that.
Okay.
Tengo una noticia interesante. España y Portugal acuerdan presentar una candidatura conjunta al Mundial 2018. ¿Habéis oído esto?
De parchís.
De fútbol.
Ah.
Fútbol es un deporte que se juega en bastantes países.
La mala Rodríguez está.
Viene a cobrar los royalties.
I heard about this about 2 days ago, actually. Yeah. Interesting.
¿Qué os parece la candidatura?
I don't know anything about it, but it should be good. They have big stadiums.
Yo cuando lo oí, creí que sería muy buena idea juntar al tener dos países. El fútbol es bastante, con bastantes seguidores, tendrían más posibilidades. Además, al hablar español y portugués, pues tiene quizás más repercusión en el mundo latino y, pues, digamos, en muchos países.
Well, let's think, where are the games before? They're in South Africa next year. 2014, where are they?
I think England are going to go for the same ones.
Yeah, England's going for the main competitor for that.
And when in 2014, where are they going to be?
Yeah, is that one?
No, it's 2018, you said.
Ah, yeah, 14.
Have they announced? They must have announced it.
Probably.
Or maybe have they?
Poland and the Ukraine have got
that's
the next
European Championships.
And
well, it's probably Brazil.
I haven't decided yet.
Have I invented? Have I just made something up? Brazil, maybe?
I have no idea. But probably because it was in Japan and Korea.
They tend to swap continents.
Yeah, now South Africa is going to be the next one.
Yeah.
Probably something in America, South America, maybe.
No.
Because in the United States was...
Maybe.
94... I don't really know. The thing
probably would be in Argentina or Brazil.
Maybe.
I mean, it would be wonderful if that tournament came to Spain and Portugal. I think it's more special when just one country gets it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if it means that Portugal and Spain come together to win it, then fantastic. But I don't think
it matters when it. I think when you have a geographical entity like the Iberian Peninsula, it's Spain and Portugal. It's not like if you had it, okay, in Japan and South Korea, there's a sea dividing them.
They're very close as well. They're
no,
very,
very yeah, but
Switzerland,
I think it's better.
Austria, I mean, it was successful. Okay. Japan and Korea was a bit, but even then, I mean, they were successful tournaments, it's just my opinion.
Do you know something, with the financial meltdown in the world today, with these kind of tournaments, they possibly investment could be a problem. They probably need guarantees. And they know that now, that the stadiums they have, okay, they'll need some updating. But basically, the stadiums in Portugal are new, because the 2004 European Championships.
Yeah.
And in Spain has some of the best stadiums that anyway.
But many of them, they are very old.
Yeah, but I'm saying by then, Atleti will be in the Olympic Stadium. You've got the Bernabeu, you've got the Nou Camp, which are already capable.
Mestalla as well, probably.
No, Mestalla, Valencia are changing stadiums. Mm-hmm. I think they're already building a new one.
Fantastic.
So, I mean,
that's four.
You've already got quite a few, and you have other stadiums
what
that would be...
Up in Bilbao, what's the stadium like up there?
It's not bad. It could probably, it would be fine for a World Cup. Yeah, and Anoeta, it'd be no problem.
Anoeta
in San Sebastián.
Por lo que dicen, Inglaterra es el rival más fuerte porque tiene una estructura más avanzada actualmente. Tiene más estadios modernos que.
That is true. The stadiums are all quite new or have recently been upgraded, I guess.
Bueno, pero de todas formas, esto es dentro de 9 años, entonces. Yeah. Si realmente presentan un plan, yo creo que tienen bastantes posibilidades al ser dos países en vez de uno solo.
I suppose the problem is with this, it depends how long we stay in the economic in this economic crisis and which countries leave it quicker than others, but I suppose 9 years is a long time. There's a lot of money in Spanish football. So maybe I'm sure it's
the kind of thing that a government who was it? I'm just trying to think of the example now that that Ukraine and Poland, part of the reason that, for example, lots of Polish people who moved to Britain over the last 10 years and now going home, apart from the fact now that the pound has fallen and the euro is stronger, there's a big demand in Poland because of the public investment from the government that they're holding the 2012 European Championships in Poland. They're building a lot of new stadiums and they need a lot of labour. They need lots of people to go and build them. So that's enticing.
Oh, no.
That's attracting people home.
What's wrong, if Mike? All of the Polish people leave, does that mean people like Phil will be building the new generation of British homes? That's a worrying thought. Well... Yeah. Do I have time to talk about a little bit of football, or shall I leave that for later?
No, of course.
That's a good time to talk about football.
Well, yeah, why not?
It's a neat segue, as they say in the BBC.
Well, also, when Jose asked me how my Christmas was, it was very good, and I had some nice presents from family and girlfriend and things. And
what, your family gave you a girlfriend for Christmas?
That's a good present. Did you like the present?
Yeah, but she was a little bit too tall, so I kept my current one.
Aww.
And one of the things that my mum gave me was a football annual, and it's quite interesting because it says here how to be. This is by the BBC, by Match of the Day program. It says how to become a good commentator, and I read it, and it's. I mean, I'm not particularly interested.
Como hacerse un buen comentarista de.
Exactly.
De partidos, deportivo. No? Deportivo, de fútbol.
And as I read it, I mean, I'm not overly interested in becoming, or I'm not going to be a commentator, but as I read it, it had some very, very good points, which I'll tell you now. But having watched football here, for example, on La Sexta, or listened to people like Marcelino on La Dos or Teledeporte, this is how to become a good commentator, clearly not in Spain. This is the anti Bible of commentary in Spain.
¿Quieres decir que los comentaristas deportivos en España no son buenos?
I'm saying they're different. Oh. Nobody's saying they're bad.
Maybe some people is thinking about it.
Maybe. If the commentators shut up, maybe people could think. Anyway.
Tell us how.
Well, no, it's just, it talks about good planning. It says, there's various steps. I won't bore you with all of them. It's like, know your history. Don't do your homework. For example, what you don't want to do is call the manager of Aston Villa a Scottish person when he's really Northern Irish and say that the manager of Everton has been at Everton for 10 years when really he's been there for less than half. That's an example. It says...
Entonces, el primer consejo para ser comentarista deportivo es hacer los deberes, ¿no? Conocer un poco la historia de lo que vas a contar.
Yeah. I mean, it says you'll only have to use a tiny percentage of your preparation, but you never know what to use. So, it also says it's very, very important to stay impartial and be objective. Now, you would be fired from any channel in the Spanish region, be it Cuatro or Antena Tres, or every channel has football. There's lots of football matches. But to stay impartial and be objective. Now,
entonces, recomiendan ser un poco imparcial, ¿no? O sea, que no se vea con qué equipo estás, a qué equipo estás apoyando. Mm.
The idea is, when you put the microphone down, that nobody knows which team you preferred or etc. Anyway, I'll skip to a later one. It's got step number 6, don't talk too much. Hang on a minute. Don't talk too much. What, you can actually stop to breathe. It is important to let the pitches speak for themselves. If a goal goes in and the crowd goes wild, you do not have to fill every second of that celebration. Sometimes it's better to let the viewer feel that atmosphere unfold before them. Gareth, can you do an impression of what a Spanish commentator would do if someone scored the winning goal in the World Cup final?
Okay. Goal! Go, 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 go.
Now, that was actually...
That was toned
very,
down.
Very toned down, because there are people in another room. Now, can you do an impression of a Spanish commentator when someone scores an own goal in the 89th minute in a semi-amateur match that nobody cares about?
No, you do it.
It's exactly the same.
Go.
Es porque todos los goles son igualmente importantes. Da igual si ganas la final de la Copa del Mundo o si es un partido de segunda o es tu hijo en el recreo, pero cada gol cuenta.
Well, when I play football, I would like somebody, when I score once a year, for somebody to be celebrating like a lunatic, shouting goal, goal, goal. So I'd have to agree with you there. And what's the last point? The last point. Step 8, don't get too excited. You don't have to scream your head off to let the viewers know something excited has happened.
O sea, no tienes que parecer demasiado emocionado, ¿no? No es totalmente necesario y hacer saber que estás realmente emocionado con el partido.
Well, I remember I was cleaning my house a while ago.
Why?
Laura shouts at me if I don't.
And she said something like, clean, clean.
And anyway, so Laura was overusing products to clean a wardrobe and in the hallway, even though we'd lived there for 2 months. I don't know how dirty a wardrobe can get. And well, for the whole... For the first half of the match, I was kind of dusting and doing things, and every time the commentator sounded excited, you know, I'd run in the room, realizing that it was a throw-in or a corner or nothing particularly, because I'm still used to listening to kind of English-speaking commentary, not American, because American's quite exaggerated too, but where if somebody gets excited, it's because something's happened. I mean, I remember listening to a match on the radio once. It was Real Madrid, and he was going, and he passes it backwards to Beckham, who passes it to his left, then he passes it back to the goalkeeper.
Sí, es realmente emocionante pasarle el balón al portero, ¿no?
And anyway, so I was convinced that Arsenal or Bolton had scored a goal, so I walked quite rapidly from the room I was cleaning into the living room, slipping aggressively on the spray that Laura had been putting, well, on the wardrobe that had fallen on the floor, because the wardrobe couldn't take so much of it. And I slipped over, nearly ripped my groin and cut my knuckles.
O sea que quisiste ir a ver el gol que no se marcó porque estaban emocionados por un pase cualquiera. Y como tuviste que irte muy rápido de una habitación a otra, resbalaste sobre el spray, el producto de limpieza que había estado limpiando tu novia en el armario, pero que como había tanto producto de limpieza en el armario, se había caído al suelo, pues resbalaste, casi te haces daño al ingle. Y tuviste cortes en los nudos, ¿no? De la mano.
Mike, a lo mejor el hecho de que un locutor esté tan emocionado con un simple pase o una cesión de balón, quizás es porque los partidos son tan sumamente aburridos que si no se emocionan con eso no hay nada que comentar. Hay partidos que terminen con un 0-0 o 0-1 en el que si no das un poco de emoción a un pase normal o a una cesión, el resto del partido no hay nada en lo que animara al oyente y cambiaría de canal.
That is true, and I can understand how maybe people might think they need to make the unexciting exciting, but if you're watching the game, you can't be fooled.
Good point. Fair enough.
There you go. So that is the how to be a commentator.
Thanks.
Or how not to do it, depending on where you live.
De todas formas, te digo una cosa, Mike. Creo que habría que respetar a los comentadores, a los comentaristas. A los comentaristas, porque al fin y al cabo son hombres haciendo su trabajo, ¿no? Como
sí.
Nuestra próxima canción del Cultural Bridge.
Oh, very good.
And moon is in the seventh house, and Jupiter aligns with Mars. Then peace will guide the planets, and love will steer the stars. Is still dawning of the age of Aquarius, the age of Aquarius.
Mike, yo creo que nos vas a deleitar con un temazo.
That is true. A big theme.
Cuéntanos algo.
Big theme, I like that, Tim. It's good.
Cuéntanos algo acerca de esta canción, porque la verdad que yo no sé nada de ella.
Well, basically, it could be considered the unofficial national anthem of Australia. I actually have a section on my laptop for national anthems. Well, I only actually have the Welsh national anthem, just in case I feel sad. The actual proper Australian national anthem. And then this one, which is a great song. And the reason that we're playing it today is because 2 days ago on Monday was actually Australia Day.
¿Dónde? El lunes fue el día nacional de Australia.
Exactly.
¿Y cómo lo celebraron? ¿Una ofrenda floral a su reina?
I think the postage to send anything to their queen would actually be quite pricey. So I don't actually know what they do, but they certainly would drink a lot of beer.
Nunca Foster.
No, definitely never. Fore. Well, depends where you live. That's the complicated thing about Australia. When I'd been in one state for a few weeks, and I got used to asking for a particular size of beer, and then I go to the next state, and I'd ask for that, for example, a schooner or a schooner, and then the people go, what's a schooner? And a schooner is like a particular type, I don't know, maybe between half a pint and a pint, and you can buy that in Brisbane. Whereas you go to Victoria, where Melbourne's the capital, and it's more common to what me and Gareth would be used to, with pints or half pints. And anyway, depending on...
Are you used to drinking half pints?
Well, I have cañas, which is kind of like half pints.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
Even less.
But anyway, so basically each state has different measures and different alcohol laws, and basically it also depends on the climate, because the hotter part of Australia you are in, the smaller size beers you can get, because
sensible.
It will just get warm. Mm-hmm. So
interesante.
That's why people drink cañas in Madrid in January.
Y pintas en el norte de Europa.
Exactly.
Me pregunto qué beben en... Creo que en Andalucía beben chupitos.
I've heard that.
Y en Marruecos hace tanto calor que ni siquiera beben.
Well, hang on a minute. I've been there and they shove tea down my throat 5 or 6 times a day.
Ah, es cierto. Eso sí. Sin alcohol, pero beben. Mike, vamos a oír este himno no oficial de Australia cantado en castellano.
Viajando en un furgo jodido, en un camino hippie, cabeza zombie. Conocí a una mujer rara, me puso nervioso, me invitó a desayunar. Y ella dijo, vienes de una tierra de abajo, bajo. donde las mujeres brillan y los hombres pillan. No escuchas, no escuchas los truenos. Corre, mejor te pongas a cubierto. Comprando pan de un hombre de Bruselas, medio 1,98 y cachitos, dijo, ¿hablas mi idioma? Sonrió y me dio un sándwich Vegemite, y él dijo, vengo de una tierra de abajo, donde la cerveza es abundante y los hombres vomitan. No escuchas, no escuchas los truenos. Corre, mejor te pongas a cubierto.
Get off me, you mongrel! No, Sonia, that's for winter. Of course it's legal, shut up.
En un hostel de mierda en Bombay, la boca cerrada sin ganas de hablar, dije al hombre, ¿me quieres tentar? Porque vengo del país que lo tiene todo. Y él dijo, hoy vienes de una tierra debajo. Oye, donde las mujeres brillan y los hombres pían. No escuchas, no escuchas los truenos. Corre, mejor te pongas a cubierto.
Oh, go on, mate, have another keg. You're only driving 10 kilometers. Bloody hell, mate, your hair's longer than your Sheila's. Johnny's vomited. You gotta take him home. Oh, everybody needs good neighbors. Oi. You know what? Hey, mate, you know that Ferrari have thrown away their pit crew. Yeah, now with the economic crisis, Ferrari, the Formula One team, have fired all of their pit crew. And they've now hired 4 Aborigines. They do the work in 1.2. They can change the tires, the wheels, and spray the vehicle in half a second. And they do it all for 4 cans of 4X each.
I have to say, I think that's one of the finest ever performances on the Cultural Bridge, bringing Australia to Spain.
Pero ¿quién canta este himno no oficial? ¿Es un grupo boliviano?
With the panpipes. That is a fantastic way of bringing Australian culture. Would you be able to just illustrate with, I don't know, a real life example, illustrate what this song is talking about?
Can I talk about the footy, mate?
The footy? Do you mean Australian rules football?
Australian rules football.
Tell us more.
Well, before...
Quickly, in about a minute.
Australian rules football was called... Victoria football, but now
there's
more teams.
Can you speak properly?
Yeah. Basically, there is a team in Australia called Geelong, mm-hmm. or Geelong. Okay?
The name of a town.
The name
a
of
city.
A town. It's not very nice. Somebody wanted me to set up an office there, lent me their car for a weekend, and after 20 minutes, I realised I didn't want to live
okay.
there.
Okay. So, what did the Geelong Australian football team do?
Well, one of the players did what, in a long line of tradition of Australian rules football players, and sexually raped a woman.
O sea que los jugadores del fútbol australiano tienen una mala fama de ser violadores.
Yeah, but the clubs always cover things up by paying off the women.
Pero
so
los clubes siempre pagan un dineral a las pobres chicas violadas y vamos, joder, qué fuerte, sí.
And anyway, so Geelong, the unofficial name of Geelong, are the Window Winders.
O sea, el nombre no oficial del equipo de fútbol australiano de Geelong is the window winders, o sea, los abridores de ventanas, o algo así.
Yeah, so the reason is a Australian football rules player, Frogelong, took a girl in his car out to the mountains. And she decided, how dare she, that she didn't want to have sex with him. So he opened his car door, wound down the window, put half of her top half of her body through the door, wound up the window, and had his way with her. Hence the name Window Winders.
Eso no lo voy a traducir.
Es un país duro, Australia, ¿eh? Queridos oyentes, la próxima semana tendremos más noticias y más informaciones de países remotos, Australia, España,
Cuenca,
Burkina
Faso.
Nos vemos la próxima semana a la misma hora.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Hoyle.